Last week he began to explore the heter of krovos. Mishnah says that there's no iser yichud between the parents and children, either between mother and son or between father and daughter. And so the Gemara roots that in the original makar for this yichud is bein misyached and imo. I think we discussed a little bit. The Pnei Yeshua thinks there may be a direct limud for the reverse as well, because one of the cases of Mesis is the daughter speaking to her father. So maybe both of the cases of the Mishnah are directly covered, directly indicated by the Pesukim. Alternatively, the Pasuk says that the Pasuk indicates that Ben Imo B'Seser, that Bez Mizachid Im Imo, that's Mutter, and the implication is that the same should be true in the reverse direction as well, that the father and daughter also have no Isra Yichud. And then I think we explored a little bit we began to explore the machlokas. There is a machlokas about that. We saw Pei Aleph Amid Beis. The Amora Shmuel seems to have assumed that there's no heter yichud even with one's own daughter. Even with one's own daughter. Izarbi paint biti and so on and so forth. The Tanoma seemed told that way. So we saw the Rishonim don't accept that. But we saw there is a machlokas Rishonim, how much do we not accept that? The Rosh assumed that there is not only a heter yichud between parents and children, but even between siblings, based on the Amora Rav Asi, Amora Yehuda Rav Asi, Amora Yehuda Rav Asi, what the Gemara says, the Misyache Adam Machos of Darm Imo and Bito. And the Rambam, the Shulchan Aruch follows the Rambam, who says, seems to take a middle position, that there is a heter of yichud between the parents and children, but there is no heter yichud between siblings. The Rambam does not mention it, we saw the Shulchan Aruch also. Shulchan Aruch, and Sif Aleph, also the Siached, with Arayos, with the exception of parents and children, and Baal Nishtanida. That's it. The Rambam seems to assume that there is no Heter Yichud with Achoso. Against the simple meaning of the Bavli. So there's some discussion of where that would come from. I would note one more Nakuda in terms of that. I was about his last time, the Pnei Moshe on the side of Yerushalmi in the beginning of Sotah, so he points out that he thinks where the Rambam came from is that there's a Beferish of Tosefta that says that there's no Heter Yichud with a sister, and it's more or less a Tosefta that appears here in the Bavli and Pei Aleph Amud Beis. Amar lecha Shmuel, Vilita Meich, Ha Desanya. The brisa that says achoso chavos or shark rosh of the Torah ain't misyachim on ela be'edim ela be'edim. According to brisa, that brisa is more or less that corresponds to Tosafta. That brisa says that there is no heter yichud with achoso. So Pnei Moshe says he thinks that maybe that's why the Rambam assumed based on that Tosafta there's no heter yichud with a sister. That brisa doesn't say anything directly about parents and children, so he maintains the heter yichud between parents and children appears in the Mishnah. Based on the Tosefta, the Rambam rejected the heter yichud between brother and sister. So just it's worth appreciating in terms of that, and then we'll get into some more of the details. But just in terms of that basic machlokas that we had seen last time, that appears in the page of Shulchan Aruch, the Shmuel says where we pass like the Rosh that there is a Heter Yichud L'Choso, Mechaber saying that the Rambam we don't. And it could be that it's Rambam L'Shitoso in terms of Derech HaLimud or Derech HaPsak. It's something maybe we've touched on a little bit in the past. The Rambam's Mishnah Torah was at the same time, on the one hand, you know, the continuation of a long line of Svarim of that sort, of that genre, and at the same time broke new ground. There was a long line of Svarim that were halachic summaries of the Gemara. The most famous one that preceded, that immediately preceded the Rambam, was the Rif. The most famous, and the Rambam would probably say the greatest, and there are a number of Gaonim. The Rif was a contemporary of Rashi. He's a very early Rishon. It was in the 11th century, in the 1000s, like Rashi. He's three generations before the Rambam. The Rambam's father was a Talmud of the Talmud of the Rif. So the Rif is the most famous to us, preceding the Rambam. But there were a number of such sources written by the Gaonim, the Halachos Gadolos, Halachos Pesukos, Halachos Ketuvos, which were all different, same basic ideas as the Rif and preceding the Rif over the preceding centuries of trying to take the Gemara and pull out just the Halachos Lemaisa core. So in a certain sense, the Rambam is doing that, but he expanded that project massively in three ways. Number one is just in terms of scope. The Rif, and I think all or almost all of the Gaonim who preceded him, were really focused on Halacha L'maaseh b'zman hazeh. Bracha, Shabbos, Erevin, Kachem doesn't appear, Taurus doesn't appear, except for Hilchos Nida and so on and so forth. Only things which are relevant is hazeh. The Rambam opened up the range of topics, to all Tariq Mitzvahs. Avodah, Karbanas, Tahara, everything he expands also in terms of Hashkafa and Amunah, Sefer Hamada. He talks about Tshuva, he talks about Midos, he talks about the Ikari Amunah. That's one in terms of the scope of topics. Number two is the Rambam, the Rif, and basically all the Gaonim who preceded him, more or less al Seder HaGemara. I mean, occasionally they'll try to sort of pull topics together, but it's basically Bracha Shabbos Erevin, you know, wherever the topic appears in Shas, that Masechta, that Perek, that's what you're going to find in the Rif and the Bahag and so forth, more or less. The Rambam started from scratch and totally reorganized. He wanted to have a logical organization. The Rambam writes, Talmud Bavli is very conversational, and I'm going to write a Mishnah style, not a Gemara style work. Everything that has its place, everything has its address. And he develops his own scheme of Mada, Avaz, Manam, and so forth. So also breaking new ground in terms of organization. Then in addition to the scope of topic, or the range of topics, and the organizational scheme, a third major, it's also in Hebrew, but that's not necessarily like a fundamental change. A third major change that's relevant to us is the scope of his corpus, the number of svarim that he's looking at. The Rif writes explicitly at the end of Erevin, I think we've touched on this in the past, Rif writes explicitly in the last couple lines of Sefer and Erevin, that we Bavli Yerushalmi pass like the Bavli. We're open to pass like Yerushalmi, but Yerushalmi will always lose to the Bavli. Bavli is the king. Bavli is the Basra. We pass like the Bavli against the other Yerushalmi, and presumably against other Makoros of Chazal. The Rambam is decidedly and explicitly not Bavli centric in that way, even though he was very kafuf to the Rif. In many, many ways, like I said, his father, Rabbeinu Maimon, was a Talmud of the Rimagash, who was a Talmud Mufik of the Rif, and he generally, nine times out of 100, whatever the numbers are, he tends to pass like the Rif. But this very fundamental Derech HaLimud issue, he totally rejects the Rif, and the other Rishonim, more or less all except the Rif, to give precedence to the Bavli. The Rambam writes explicitly, Bavli, Yerushalmi, Sefra, Sefra, Tosefta, I'm going to quote everything. I think I might mention in the past that the Gra writes, at least one took place in the Be'er Agra, writes it in your day, Sam Chalaf, in Pastor Shalom and Ayin. Darpash Rabba lifts a Kirushalmi Negra Bavli Mukam comes. Rabba will offer. Rabba often does this. Rabba didn't, was comfortable, not just Pasak Yerushalmi, as other Rishonim would also, but Pasak Yerushalmi against the Bavli. So I wonder if that's what's going on here also. This question is a very practical question about the Yichud HaChosel. It could be that it's rooted in this Derech HaLimud or Derech HaPsak issue. As if the Pnei Moshe is correct, that it's in the Harami, it's not that the Rambam rejected how you read the Bavli. Yeah, the simple implication of the Bavli is that we should paskin like that there is a Heter Yichud HaChosel. Particularly, by the way, if the Girsa is Amar Yehuda Marav, Machalok is Rav and Shmuel, so Hilchos Rav Bisure, But it could be the Rambam gave precedence. You have a Tosefta. Rambam said you have a Tosefta versus a Bavli, and the Pasuk like Tosefta. He's comfortable. Which most other Rishonim would not do. It's not that the Rambam, you know, has a preference not to pass like the Bavli, but he's not going to automatically give it precedence. So if you have if for whatever reason he finds the other Marmakim to be more compelling, then he'll pass like it. It could well be what's driving it. Whatever it is, it seems pretty clear. L'chora, the Rambam does not accept the Heter Lachoso, while most other Rishonim do.
Is
Tosefta
unique? It's not uniquely Bavli, is it?
What do you mean?
I mean, if there's a Tosefta, it's not tied necessarily to the Talmud Bavli, right? Yerushalmi have the same Tosefta as Bavli, right?
Yeah. I don't mean that this is Machlokes Bavli Yerushalmi. What I mean is
it's a Tosefta and still Talmud Bavli, I guess Shmuel argues on.
So Shmuel quotes the Tosefta a little bit as a little tamech, because the Tosefta says Achos is not hatiyichu achazor. Now it's not say totally Shmuel, because Shmuel would say there's not hatiyichu with emo either. That's what ultimately say. We have other brises, other tanan, but it could be the Rambam said have the fesh of Tosefta, machlokes in the Bavli, the stam of Tosefta. That may have been what drove the Rambam. Say look, we're gonna follow the Tosefta.
What would be the source?
And the Mishnah is neither here nor there. He's going to pass like the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Imo Vito is Moto. The Mishnah didn't take a stand necessarily on, explicitly on a Choso. And I have a Tosefta. I think you have a Gemara. Tosefta, I think, is Parak Hei. Yeah. Yeah. All the way in the back.
What was
your source arguing one of the fish? I don't know, it's a Tosefta. It's a Cheddus Isha, a about parents and children. The missionary said that. The Tosefta often appears to be filling in the gaps. It seems like that's what it was written, to fill in the gaps of the Mishnah. It's meant as a complement or a supplement, not as a replacement for the Mishnah. So what were you saying? You're saying, well, what did Shmuel do with that? What did Rashi do with that? So that's what the Gemara said. I'm Lecha Shmuel.
It is a Shmuel
Tosefta. So Shmuel asks Ravasi, "Kli Tamech, what do you do the Tosefta?" Achosah Chamosa, Eni Seachman El Beidim, Beidim In Shalaydim Lo. The response, Tanayi, it is a Machlokes HaTanan. We have another verse there where Meir is Nizim Tei Bito. Avi, you're saying we don't have any brisa that explicitly supports Ravasi. That's a good point. So I have a Tosefta that says Achosa was Aser. I do not have a Tosefta. I don't have any source in Tanan that Achosa was Moter. That is a good point. That is a good point. So as you're saying, it's Taka strange. Taka strange. Meaning that the Gemara had presented it in the context of an attack on Shmuel. Shmuel is up against the rope. Says Shmuel, you're against the Mishnah. You come off. The Mishnah says beferish, because Shmuel had gone to the other extreme. He didn't just reject the Heter Yichud Achosi, he even rejected Heter Yichud to parents and children. So that had gotten attacked, and then he pushes back. So he's saying, so what ends up happening is that the Mishnah says there's a Heter Yichud with parents and children, but we have a Braisa. It's not just Shmuel, it's already Rabbi Meir, who says there's not a Heter Yichud with Imo Bito. You're saying we never really explained what the makar is for Rav Asi, because we weren't talking from that perspective. But the implication was, you're going to have to agree to me that Tanoi, but Tanoi not just in terms of Imobita, Tanoi in terms of Achosa. Yeah, so that it could be that maybe the answer has to be the following. Maybe the answer has to be thinking about the source. Because I don't know if we did we talk about the Gemara Sanhedrin last time? Gemara Sanhedrin, which Rashi already points to. Rashi, interestingly, here, the Rashash works on it. Rashi in Pei Alfam Bez, in Dar Im Achol Imo and Bito, in terms of the Heter with Imo Bito, he points to a Gemara Sanhedrin. Takif Yitzra Elayu, there isn't typically in normal healthy situations, there isn't a taiva for between parents and children. Why? The Hana Be'achshas Nesedol Lo Migri Be'Krovta, Miki Kachlinu Ve'Nakrinu Le'Ene, etc. The Gemara in Sanhedrin Samach Dalla talks about how they were able to mute the Yitzar from Avodah Zarah or metamorphose into Yitzar from Minas, and then they sought to do the same thing for Yitzar from Arayos. They realized it's not a good idea, but they at least the way the Gemara interprets the mysterious Pesukim of Zechariah, they eliminated, weakened part of it. And how so? They were able to dampen the Yitzhahara for Krovos, for incest. They left the Yitzhahara for Eshos Eshanida and non-family sexual desire is still as strong as it was during the Bais Rishon period, but desire for incest was muted. Now, what's interesting is the Rashash, you see, the way we have the Gemara, or at least in my old Gemara, the two separate Diburim. There's Misyachid and Machoso. Rashi explains Misyachid as opposed to Dira, means on the Frakim. And then the next year, Masla is Darim and Bito, and here he explains the Gemara Sanhedrin. So the Rashash actually takes out those two doubts. In other words, the way our Rashi appears, is that what you have in your Gemaras also? Two separate Diburim? So what the Rashash points out was strange about that is the way our Rashi is printed is that the Gemara Sanhedrin, Lamigri Bekrovte, is being presented by Rashi as an explanation for Darim Imo and Bito. Rashash doesn't understand. Darim Imo and Bito, I don't need a Svara, I don't need a historical explanation. And Pasuk, it's a Drasha, that's what we had in Dafei. He says, no. Rashash says, no, it's one long Dibur Masa. He explains that, Darim and Bito explains that, Darim and Bito. And then, I think he changed the gears a little bit. Eino Darim, tell me, Yichud Etzla Bais, as you are, Dar with Imo and Bito. And then, after explaining this, the given the description, what the din is by Achoso, that's Mutter, Yichud Lefrake, but not Adira Tamid, then it goes on to explain in the Rashash's gears of Rashi, the reason for Achoso. The reason for Achoso is because Lamigri Inish Bekrovte. So that's the way the Rashash wants to read it. It points to a larger question, which the Tosa Rosh here in Pei Alf raises, and I think this may bring us back right to your point. The Tosa Rosh raises the kasha. I don't understand. I have a drasha on Pei Alf Beis that says that what the Yichud is also Isadorai. So, but there's a built-in heter of Imo and Bito. Why? Pasuk. Zeres HaKasuk. Good. And then we come along here, And Rav Asi tells me there's also no het iser yichud with achozo. And why is that? Because of a story, the historical change in psychology that Anshe Kesef HaGadolah managed to pull off 2,500 years ago. She says, I understand. This is yichud d'oraisa. So it's very nice that they dealt with the Eitzahara. But this is yichud d'oraisa. And this so can the Gzeres HaKasevs. So where's your opening to change it? And he, the Tosafos Rosh gives a teretz that I think comes up elsewhere in these sugyas as well. Tosafos Rosh says, it goes to Rabbeinu Ochanan, here in Pe'ah from Beis, Tosafos Rosh says, you understand. Inu Obito is not stam up. Zeres HaKasav, Shain Chok, that's the way it is. No. We have Sukkim indicate there's Isra Yichud and that there's a Hetra Yichud with Imo, or with Bito. Or with Imo. So what does that mean? Stamag Zeres HaKasav? No. Sometimes you have a Zeres HaKasav, a Stamag Zeres HaKasav, but often, as I'll try to figure out, what's the nature of the Zeres HaKasav? I'll give you an example that's... a more formalized type of example in terms of how the Mishatar Jesbehen work. But what a lot of the Mishatar Jesbehen grapple with is how to generalize the Sukkim and Chumash. In other words, the Torah talks about a case, so is it just that case, or is that an example of a category? So sometimes, look, the Torah talks about Petach Hamar in Parshas Bo, and it's only Hamar. There's no din of Bechar and any other non-kosher animals. There's different din of Bechar on kosher behemoths. Bechar behemoth tahor has a status of a carbon, but the idea that if a non-kosher animal gives birth to a firstborn male, if there's any status whatsoever, you have to do pidyon, it's only chamar. We don't expand it saying it's all non-kosher behemoths or no, all work animals, horses, no. Only chamar. So sometimes it's mamash just what the Torah specifies. But oftentimes, we understand that it's the Torah is giving examples of a larger category. The Torah talks about your shomer and kesef or kelim, so here the dinim. It doesn't have to be stafka kesef or kelim. The kesef or kelim is an example of a larger category. You have to figure out what the larger category is. The larger category is not things made out of metal. It's not things that are artificially made, nor is it things that start with the letter kaf. It might be something that has to do with the Davar HaMitalta V'Guf HaMam or something like that. So Chazal to figure out, in part using the principles of Kal Prater Kal and so on and so forth, and in part applying Svara to figure out how you define the category. So Rabbeinu Elchanan, the Baal Tosus, he says in Tosa Rashir that what Rav Asi is saying is that's what the Hector, when we darsha from the pasuk ben misyachin and imo, so that's not just exeris akasa of a ben and imo, that's an example of a category. Category being that the relationship is such that there's a dramatic lack of title. So if you have a relationship that baked into that relationship is a... So that's why Rav Asi says, look, the Torah never specified. Number one, that could explain against the contrary to the Pnei Yeshua, the Torah never specified father and daughter. So where that had to come from? As the Pnei Yeshua said, well, maybe it's in the pasuk also, which is very mosheich. On the other hand, in the pasuk it's gishmak. But it's odd that the Gemara, if that's pshat, the fact that the Gemara only mentioned Imo Vito, only Ben and Imo, and not the more obvious. So that's, again, the Pnei Yeshua works on that. I'll be pashas, it is only Imo. So the answer is no, but it's an example of a category. And the same way, the same lack of taiva that normally exists between mother and son is also... That same lack also normally exists between father and daughter, and therefore it's part of the same category. I mentioned last time the Bach. The Bach the poskim here in Chavez, what the Bach talks about, both in Siman Chaf Aleph in the context of touch and Kirvasar, and here in Siman Chavez in the context of Yichud, that the heter between parents and children extends to grandparents and grandchildren, great grandparents and great grandchildren. But why? That's not what it says in the Chumash. And we don't always say, there are other halacha contexts where we do not assume that grandparent and grandchild is the same as parent and child. The kibra of the chib, kibra of them is not the same. For instance, the chib Talmud Torah is not the same. It may be similar, but it's not the same. And there are other examples also. You don't always assume that the grandparent-grandchild relationship is the same as the parent-child relationship. But here, it's not a the relationship per se. It's an example of a category of relationships where baked into the relationship is that under normal circumstances, the taiva is severely, severely muted or entirely missing.
Well, on the face value, the pasuk not even talking about yichud. The whole thing is a hint.
But to the extent that there is a drasha, the drasha is the fact that we take that phrase right and read it separately as Beni Mo B'Seisa.
You're just saying that.
Oh, yeah. I hear what you're saying. Right. You're saying how you generalize a drasha might be different than how you generalize a pasuk in Chumash. Yeah. And that's why we're not using Mishra Tron Drasha then. We're not talking about Kala Prat Kala because we're not dealing with explicit pasuk. Yeah, that's a good point. If you say Yichud is not smach, if you say Yichud is Rabbanon, so then there's a Bechal, then whoever Chazal, where Masak is, where they're Masak, right? But if you assume that they're Isis, and then that these are real drushes.
Is it possible that this also relates back to what you said many times before, where you have these concepts where the Isser is Mirhatorah, but the definition is Midrabbanon?
Allah Masar Chazal Chacham. That could be. Or let me take what you're saying and with a little bit of a twist. As you're saying, we're going to have other heterim also. We're just getting started here. So some of the heterim are in cases where it's to begin with Drabban. Let's say the heter of Shnei Anashim, which the Mishnah mentioned. That's our next topic. Shnei Anashim, the Mishnah mentioned that the Gemara is going to, the bottom of Amud Beis, wrapping the top of Amud Aleph, is going to get a lot into details of when yes and when not. When does Shnei Anashim Shnei work? When does not work? So when you need three people. But that's all for sure Drabban. Okay, so that's where we are. Chazal made a takan Drabban that there's Yichud even with three people, but not in this case. But let's say we're going to get further and pay off from Rav to Baal Beir and to Pesach Pasuach, and those apply even when it's Yichud Arisa. Tashkocha. What?
Tashkocha also, but yeah. He's weak.
Yeah. So that requires understanding. That requires bodily and possible soul require real understanding. Because what do you mean? Yes, Yichud Arisa, where did it come from? So you're right. It could be bad. Some that maybe even that could it be? Maybe that also that Benim Imo is given a hagdara that the Isser Yichud is when there's a Seser that carries with it a sufficient concern of. That notion that we already started talking about in the Mishnah a little bit, that you're trying to figure out, or just in terms of the first line of Gemara, that you're trying to figure out how to balance. Did we look at the first line of the Gemara? With the Dash and Dyke and Kalos?
Yeah.
Right? And then you're trying to figure out like how much have you reduced the risk? That whole notion, so again, that was already on the level of Drabanan, but even in Min HaTorah, there is maybe that's what's going on. That I'll have to see when we get to Baal Beir and Pesach Pasuach. There are two ways of thinking about why a Yichud is Mutter. Either what ought to be Yichud is Mutter because it's a Yichud, but the risk is so low that it's Mutter. Or it's not Yichud, it's not Beseisa. So for instance, this is getting a little bit ahead of where we're at, but when we get to Pesach Pasuach, so we'll see that at least some of the cases of Pesach Pasuach is where there's visibility. So there's an open door. Mamash, the door is wide open. They have an open window. People, anyone walking by can see in. So that's mutter. That's for sure mutter. I have to see. How about if you, no visibility, but people could walk in. If you're visible to the street, then it's assumed that for sure it's mutter. So that's not necessarily, oh, it's yichud bas mutter because the risk is reduced. That's not yichud. It's not a situation yichud. Oh, you're not alone. It's also be b'seser. I'm not b'seser. Anyone walking by can see me. So we'll have to explore. It's actually an interesting way of thinking about by al bir pes basuach.
We've had like Shabbosom, the inuyim,
Lama Aser Kazal Chacham.
Right, these concepts where the concept is derisive, but it's given to Chacham to define.
Yeah. Could that be here also? It could be. It could be.
We saw even this week with the Chos, what's a Rai, is the whole Ramosha, the whole thing. What is even considered, what's a Dira?
Yeah, that's a good point.
I mean, so like, the whole Yichud thing is, a lot of Yichud already has a lot of subjectivity to it.
Right.
And a lot of it does have to do with, I mean, again, we haven't gone to those topics yet, but about what, like, what's considered norm of the society you live in. So it may be the same thing with some of these things. Like, if you could stare into this, that's not a closed door. There's right. a window there. You're not, anyone could look in. There's a video camera. Is that, if those kind of things, if there's a video in your room, is that considered closed off, or anyone, or someone's looking at the video could watch you the whole time. So is that considered like a yichud thing?
Right, that's what we have to get to. Get right. to pasuk. Yes, you're saying the fact that right and the right the difference the chiluk between dira and yichud is one of two things. L'chora, either that's drabanan. I mean, why even mechalik? The chos is the same as imos, then why even mechalik? So you could say. Maybe that's a drabanan. Maybe with a choso is always mutter, but Chazal said the drabanan, you think dira is not a good idea. Yichud they left mutter, maybe. And that would mean that the chiluk between dira and yichud by a choso is purely drabanan. Or you say no, it's mamish. There is a heter on level of deraisa of yichud with a choso, but there's no heter level of deraisa of dira with a choso. If you can say that, then you're probably gonna have to say what Eric said, what you're saying. In other words, at that point, that sounds like it's not a master class of Chacham. Again, master class of Chacham means usually you have a din d'oraisa that seems like HaKadosh Baruch Hu has been so clearly, deliberately vague, like almost aggressive, not aggressive, not aggressive, but so overtly vague. I'm telling you there's a din, and it's clear that there are details that I'm not telling you. And you have no way of darshaning them from the psukim. So the implication of that is as the Torah is saying, the Chacham have to figure out what they think are reasonable parameters, and whatever parameters they pick become the parameters d'oraisa.
More fundamentally, how did Shmuel expect people to live in those parameters? And would he say something like a baal b'ir, like parents b'ir? But you know, if one parent's away and the other parent has to leave for an hour or two, then how do they function?
I don't know.
In an agricultural society?
I don't know. The same, how does a mother raise her son?
But or how do you do siblings?
See, he doesn't
have a dog.
Yeah, that's actually I was thinking of having a dog.
Well,
I agree with that. That's what I was thinking.
Well, okay. Yeah. Now, it should be noted the Tosas says, it's hard to know how much the Sugi Tosas is talking about. Tosas says, Nir Dahani Amarai Chumar B'yam Lakav. Abaye is Machal Makul Adir, as in terms of the animals. That was a personal Chumar. But Lav Dafka that that Rabbi Meir is a personal chumra. So you're saying in terms of achoso, how do you raise a family if without a heter yichud between ach v'achos? In terms of that piece of Shmuel, what the Rambam do? Parents, if you have only one son and one daughter at home, according to Rambam. She's saying, and then what? You become Peruvu, and then you never leave home. Or you have to always work it out. Hey, both parents can be out of the house. So then you didn't have to have some other hetter yichud. Either the son or the daughter has to leave. Again, if they're old enough, we haven't gotten to ages yet. If they're both old enough, it's yichud, or else you have to have someone coming in. Yeah. It sounds very hard to implement. It definitely does sound very hard to implement.
You always have two parents.
And what?
You always have two parents. One parent.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's what I thought you were saying before. Shmuel himself, who said there's no hetter yichud with Bito, now he doesn't say explicitly no hetter yichud with Imo. If he holds that as well, so how does a mother, not only a case of single parenting, which could go either way, but even in a two-parent home, the father left to go to work, and the mother's home with her son. Could be. And it's only applicable once the son's old enough that it's potentially a sefer. Maybe. And we're certainly the reverse. If you have a father raising a daughter of his own, it's going to be incredibly challenging. Now it should be noted, what's less common, but I don't know what's more common, less common. What might be halachically even more problematic is Poskim discuss what the story is with adoptions and blended families. It's a very, very, obviously, whenever these has come up, it's a situation that's already emotionally fraught, a whole slew of levels usually. And then you have to figure out, as usually people who you're seeking to build or rebuild family connections, and often it's children and sometimes also parents who have been bereft in some way or another, and need support and need family connection. So there is a debate amongst the poskim. Would you say that, look, there's a heter yichud between parents and children that includes adopted parents and children, or step-parents and children, a blended family, or a second marriage on both sides, or on one side, whatever it is, and one or both spouses are coming into the marriage with children from a previous marriage. So now what's the story? Now we're trying to create one family unit. But you're going to say that a couple get married, and the wife's daughters are going to refer to their mother's new husband as Abba, but will not be mitzached with him. Or is that okay? How about Kir Basa? Can they get a hug and a kiss from their new Abba? It certainly strikes us that emotionally speaking, that may be very healthy and necessary. I suppose we do deal with this question. There is some degree of machlokes that post about this. I think Lubavitcher Rebbe was famous for being more machmir in terms of the Yichud Eishu in particular, the adopted children. It's obviously in an actual situation it requires the Sheyas Chacham. But one of the factors that postmen look at, many postmen do assume that if a child is adopted or picks up a new step parent at a very young age, that may be different than at a more advanced age. It's a very young age, so emotionally speaking, this is if from infancy, certainly, or from early childhood, I was misyaches to this person, this is my mother, this is my father, and vice versa, the adult has been misyaches to this boy or girl since his or her infancy as a son or a daughter. So many poskim are more willing to assume that that should have a status of a parent-child relationship with respect to yichud, maybe in respect to kiryas basa. If the relationship starts when the child is older, it's not as partial.
Siblings too, probably.
Siblings also, right. Siblings also.
Like
yeah, it's interesting. Right, so gerim might even be... That's interesting. Would you say...
brother and sister that regain when they're already...
Right, or parents and children. Parents and children. I think there the post may be more note to the law club because there is a biological... I mean, there is a biological reality of being parent-child, brother, sister, whatever it is. But all of this is gebait on really this same idea of the Tosa Rosh. that we're looking at Ben Misyachin and Imo, the Ben Imo Beseser, not as a purely just a Gneras HaKaz V'chok Zehu, that's creating a category. Maybe you're right. It could be the some degree of Lamaster Kassel HaChamim, perhaps. But it's definitely more than a typical Lamaster Kassel HaChamim. A typical Lamaster Kassel HaChamim, Torah says V'nisam. What does V'nisam mean? I don't know. Figure it out. Okay, so the Chazal think it means these five things. So here, there may be it could be some of the details are Lamaster Kassel HaChamim, but the basic concept, you do have a separate drasha to be matir ben and imo, and that becomes a model for a category. And it should be noted, it also means that now coming back to Rashash's point about Rashi, so yeah, well, Takif Yitzray, that Gemara Sanhedrin is the mucker for Achosa in particular, but it does also relate to Imo Bito. In other words, see, the Rashash is bothered. How could you say that Imo Bito is based on Otakif, on the story in Zechariah, in Masecha Sanhedrin, in Yuma? Not only what do I need the story for, have a Zer Sakasav, the story is 1,000 years too late. Because we're darshin in Din Daraisa from Sukkim and the Chumash. The story is only from the days of Zechariah. So, what was happening until then? So the answer is no. The story is, there was already a dearth of tithe between parents and children from the days of Matan Torah, even from the days of Sheshit Liberations. And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu the Chumash says, Imo Bito is Motem. 1,000 years later, the Metzias changed. So 1,000 years later, now the reality between siblings is the same, or almost the same, as the reality between parents and children. And therefore, Mimela, it's not Reform Judaism, it's not Conservative Judaism, it's not that we're changing the categories of halacha. The categories are the same, but the effects on the ground change. So now, Achosa used to fit into category one. Now, with the new psychological reality as a result of the story in Zechariah, now Achoso fits into category number two. Category number one always had an Yisri Yichud, still has a Yisri Yichud. Category number two, Imo Vito, never had a Yisri Yichud, and still doesn't have a Yisri Yichud. It's just that now Achoso fits into that category. I should mention, this also comes up in the other Heter Yichud. The other Heter Yichud, the other relationship-driven Heter Yichud, is that there's no Esther Yichud between husband and wife, generally. Meaning, even if she's a Nida. Leaving out any other situation. Not when they weren't supposed to get married in the first place. I don't mean like Kohen marries a Grusha. Let's put that aside. But a case where a couple got married by Heter, but once a month, she's a Nida. So what do you do then? So as you saw, we know that the Rambam, the Shulchan quotes the Rambam, that's mutter, generally. You notice the yichud between father and daughter, mother, son, and Baal Mishtonida, with an exception we'll get to in a second. Where the Rambam get, that's the Mechaber's coin of the Rambam. Where the Rambam get it from? Rambam got it from a Gemara. Gemara in Sanhedrin. Where Sanhedrin is talking about the dinim of how you compose and lay out a Beis Din, the Gemara quotes a pasuk in Shir Shirim that has to do with that topic of how Beis Din arranges themselves, what the seating plan is, and that part of that pasuk also Suga Bashoshanim leads us to discussion of the fact that not only the title for Dr. Lam's English Sefer Hilchos Nida, Hedge of Roses, which is based on that pasuk, but the Gemara comments that all it takes is Hedge of Roses. All it takes is a hedge of roses. The woman says to her husband, "I saw I saw tipas dam kachardel," and he backs away. The relationship pivots to be entirely emotional rather than a blend of emotional and physical, and as a result, there's no isri yichud. That's what the Gemara mentions. Lamed zayin ralph sahedrin, that there was a apikoros, a min. Some assume the min refers specifically to the early Christians, or else it just refers generally to apikorsim, but cynical apikorsim. So the min asks Rav Kana, I understand. You tell me that you keep this din, maintain the din of the chumash, of avoiding tashish between a nida and her husband. But I mean, so how do you have yichud? He says, no, it works. It works. No issue yichud. No issue yichud. So, suga, that's a suga bar shoshana. Tosas points out that there's an expanded version of this discussion in the Shoshir Shirim Rabbah. Then Tosas raises the question there and says, I understand what Lamed Zayin says, understand. It's very nice you have a pasuk in Shir Shirim, suga bar shoshana, that's how Jewish couples, from Jewish couples are. That they maintain the chaz yichud, that's very nice. But I have a pasuk in the Chumash that says that the Yisr of yichud. Yichud arayis is deraisa. Yichud arayis is deraisa. Yichud arayos is deraisa. So you could have said, as Rabbeinu Tam says, you could have pointed to Rabbeinu Tam, quoted by Tosis and Yivamas Tabez and Aleph, told Rabbeinu Tam things that need does not an erva. Rabbeinu Tam thinks that even though it's in a sukkaris, it's not an erva. After all, usually an erva, a child who's a union of an erva is a mamzer, and ben hamida is not a mamzer. That's incredibly important. The fact that ben hamida is not a mamzer, that's accepted. Both the Rabbeinu Tam and the Rambam agree that ben hamida is not a mamzer. That's incredibly significant. Because that means that a Baal Tshuva who was born to non-religious, non-observant parents is allowed to marry freely. Because even if his parents did not keep Hilchos Nida, even if his mother didn't go to Mikvah, he's a Ben Hanida, is not a Mamzer. So Tom says, if Ben Hanida is not a Mamzer, it must be that Nida is not an Erev. But there's a Karis. So Ben Tom says, no. The definition of Erev is not just Isser B with Karis. It's an Isser Bia that's defined by a relationship with Karis. Nida, in other words, all the other Arayos are defined by relationship between two people. Either the family relationship between the Boa and the Nivellas, or in the case of Eishes Ish, the family relationship with the Nivellas and her husband, who's not this man. But Nida is not defined by a relationship between any two people. It's just her own personal status at the moment. The Tosis thinks that's not an erva. Rabbeinu Tam, I should say. And Tam thinks that's not an erva. The Rambam disagrees explicitly in a number of places in Hilchos Ishus and Hilchos Isir Ebiya. He assumes clearly that neither is an erva. The fact that there's no mamzeris, that's the exception. That's the exception. According to Rambam, it's an erva without mamzeres, but the other nafkiminas you do have. That's your har val yavar. The Rambam discusses whether that's tefisas kiddushin on kiddushin nida. You gotta figure that one out. And the siyagim daraisa apply. So that's what Rambam says here explicitly. The yichud with the nida is an issa daraisa, except yichud with the nida and her husband. Is not that's a special exception. But neither with any other man, even if she's a single woman, seems pretty clear that yichud with anita is yichud arayos daraisa. And it should be noted, it's not just Rambam. Tosas Sanhedrin also seems to think that. So they say, what do you mean yichud daraisa? Well, what's going on? Where did this come from? Yeah, Uri.
If you're assuming that there's a problem with yichud with a brother and a sister, so how do you fit that with the story about Matan Torah? Because they shouldn't develop. Why they allow him to have
yichud? Yeah, that's a funny. It's a funny thing. That
why would it lead to a gzeira against a pnuya?
Pnuya.
Say that you were over in a yichud doesn't necessarily translate to other
pnuya. Yeah. It's difficult. And the truth is, Amnon Tamar also, it was before, that was centuries before the story of Zachariah. So, what's it called? That was centuries before the story of Zachariah. So there was no Heter Choso. Even if you hold it like a Rasi, there's no Heter Choso yet. Yes, I think there are some information which suggest Now we have to figure out she was the Ishus Yifas. She was the daughter of Yifas Toar. Some take the word, well, they weren't really sisters. I'll think that goes back to your point about...
She was the younger sister, right? So she was already married. She was already married to the mother. She was Avshalom's younger sister, right? Maybe she was born first.
So then there's Kikan Shinoldav, that goes back to Arya's point, Kikan Shinoldav. That's what sounds like, well, maybe they weren't a brother, sister, Alpidin. Or you say, I think others say, no, you're right, it was Asr B'Yichud anyways. They did violate Yichud anyways. But Lamaisa, that story catalyzed a recognition that it might not be about that story. That's how it sounds like. That story sort of catalyzed the recognition that we need to be, we need to up our standards. Whether it catalyzed the recognition that there are other cases of yichud pnuyos that are leading to bad outcomes, or the way the Gemara says in the Kalabasar, the Gemara says that sometimes if you see that there's hisrashlos in a core daraisa, I might make more gzeiros for Rabbanan just to sort of reinforce that this daraisa is really serious. The Gemara says that Rav comes to Bavel, he found rampant amaratzos all over the place. The particularly glaring example of amaratzos, he comes to a town named Tatlafush, and he hears women swapping recipes for a basu chal. Mamash, how much milk do you use for a river de bistra? A quarter pound of meat, whatever that amount is exactly, how much milk to use? Shomu shamayim, now it's like, otherwise religious women are like swapping recipes for, imagine cooking meat and milk. So, the Gemara says, Amma v'tikein, I think the Isser of Chal. He added an Isser of Rabbanan in the Basra B'chal. So, Kasha says, what does one do with the other? It wasn't like, this will lead to that. Mamish and finally, this is the Isser. It wasn't because they were not nizer in this drabanan. So the answer with her is no. In other words, he realized this needed awareness raising. So sometimes the way to raise awareness is to add on a din drabanan, tag it din drabanan onto a din daraisa. It makes people realize that this is a really serious daraisa. So that may be what's going on with the unknown tamar also. That they, that's the question. Was it a case where it really wasn't al pidin achoso? Or did it raise a recognition? This story was sort of the catalyst to realize that there's a lot of far greater problems with pnuyos. Or they realize that people aren't being nizer in the court dinim, so you better add yichud pnuya in part just to protect yichud ares dreis. I think all those are potential approaches. Yeah.
Does all the other Rishonim hold like the Rambam that every girl is it considered a nida, like her entire life until she goes to the mikvah for the first time? Like the Rambam was pretty explicit that there are nidas, a girl's a nida from the time she starts menstruating until.
I think that's widely accepted.
So everyone holds that. Also?
Yeah, the Taras HaShlamim writes that. Well, one of the notes that came on Yadid specific was nida on the first page of Hifl's nida, the beginning of some Kuf Pei Gimel. The first error he makes is, I just want to make it clear, although we're going to talk about husbands and wives, you should know that that does not mean that the nida doesn't apply to single girls.
What I'm saying is, if that's the case...
And it's not, in other words, even if she's not presently menstruating, she retains her nida status until she goes to Mecca.
But if that's the case, then why did the Gemara even have to mention Penuya as a problem if you're nida?
Good.
So obviously... Not everyone seems to hold like the Rambam that nida is a problem for erva then, because or else you could just, well, the Gemara could have said, why bring up Penuya? She's already nida.
Yeah, that's a very good question. The answer is that until Kalsman, that Jews kept the dinner of Tumah Vatara, Kalsman that we had Karbanis or at least Truma, the Gemara says that the Amoraim reported in their days there were still Jews in Eretz Yisrael who had held on to some paradum ashes, and they were still staying tahar and eating truma until, let's say, probably year 350, 400. Some point during the days of Amram, it ended. So So calls man that there was relevance. No, when you, if you have calls me you have truma and kachim, so everyone goes to mikvah. So it wasn't a. Nowadays it's a violation of tznius for women to be public whether they're actually going to mikvah, because the only relevance is heter labayla. So you're basically just advertising that now mutaris labayla. So that's a violation. It's a beautiful thing, but it's not beautiful to publicize it. But bizmanayim was just a question of practical question of you want to eat truma kachim. That was milchus and fleishiks. It was a very neutral topic. So and you mamash had a different sets of clothing. You had your need that if you could afford it, instead of taking all your whole wardrobe to mikvah, women had their need their clothing and their not need their clothing. So at the time, women penuyos would go to mikvah too in order to be tahoros for truma. So there were parts of the month when she was Anida, parts of the month when she was Takana Anida. Nowadays, that's not the case, because nowadays we live under a different set of assumptions. But we're coming back to the question of Yichud on Anida. So Tosas asked the question, I understand, you're quoting Psukim for Shir Ashirim, how is that Matar and Isser of Yichud? And then they go, it's a possibility of embraces also, but it's a Remez, it's not a real Joshua Kimur the Rising. So Tosas and the Rosh give two slightly different approaches. I want to be mindful of time. For all of us, we need to not admire. Tosas there writes, it's not the same as it's not the same as regular Yichud because it's Sofa Lihi Taher. She's Asura now, but it's only a temporary state. It's only a temporary state. It's there for a while. So that's the for this, meaning it's a positive, the fact that it's paspa sala, the fact that I know it's a little bit. It does just mean, and also that can be wrong. Ksubas. Once you're ready, once says a woman becomes anida before Kal Shapir's anida before Vira Rishona, this heck does not apply. Or even the Gemara there says in Ksubas Dav Dalad, you have a scenario where Rahman Slan, Chasna or Kal lose a parent. Right before the chuppah, the Gemara says, don't do the kfur yet, quickly, just say, go through with the chuppah of the kiddushin, let them have be Rishona, and then, it must be a very out-of-body experience, and the surreal experience, and then you proceed with the kfur. And that way the avelus will set in afterwards. But in that case, because they're not yet in the regular flow of marriage relationship, so there is in this yichud because of the iser avelus. That's another. There's no iser yichud between husband and wife, even when one of them is in shiva, and therefore aser tavtashrish. Yeah, but as with nida, it's a temporary iser. It's in the context of an ongoing cycle. So that's not the same as a regular iser. That's not the same as the regular iser that would drive iser bia that would drive. But that svara of paspasalo is also rooted in the underlying assumption that denim imo beseser sets is not there sakasa but setting up a category. And when you have a baked into this relationship is a different level of zero even by nida, at least a lesser level of concern. So then it's a mutter. The Rosh has a different take. We'll close with this very quickly. We'll close with two very quick points. Number one, the Rosh's take on Nida, he seems to say that Chazal, it's almost like jerry-rigged it. But because they wanted to, it's important to have a Hector Yichud between husband and wife during Nidus, otherwise, imagine you have to, every month you're trying to figure out, have a separate house, or you do. So the Rosh, Tosis seems to assume it's automatic. A paspa salo, mela, there's reduced iser, the reduced concern, and therefore there's no iser yichud. The Rosh writes more, in the Hilchos Nida B'Ksari, as at the end of Masechet Nida, he says, they added all sorts of harchakos in order to counterbalance yichud. It sounds like, in other words, they engineered that you would not just the natural reality of paspasala, that's a cyclical heter, but they added many more many more hachakas that would thereby reduce the risk of anything going awry while you have yichud with one spouse, benidus. Eros HaMeach points that out. That's such an idea in the context of Paraduma, in the context of Manishem himself. Sometimes Chazal will set up, you have a kula, and then you have other chumras as sort of counterbalance. See, here he's saying the level of Daraisa. In other words, they created all these additional archakas you don't necessarily have, but I'm allowed to pour a drink for a woman who's not related to me, even though she's an erva. But I'm not allowed to pour a drink for my own wife if she's in either. Why? So you could just say because there's a greater concern. There's a greater concern that not having the harchaka will lead to chet. Or the Rush says you have added harchakas so that with all those harchakas you've reduced the concern enough that the yichud is mutter. It's an interesting Rush. And finally, I should just mention there are rishonim. We don't think we accept this lahalacha. The Moshe Feinstein talks about this. But there are rishonim. There's a Rabbeinu Yerucham, and there one can perhaps be daik this way from a Rabbeinu Eliakim in Yuma and the Tosa Rosh here in Kiddushin that seem to think that Achoso is an example of relatives, or at least if Moshe Feinstein says blood relatives. Rabbeinu Yerucham in particular seems to think that there's no Esir Yichud with an aunt either. It's not quoted by mainstream poskim in general. Dra'alacha tells, Dirasof, one of them says, he found the Shuvas Chikre Lev, an early Achron, who works on this a lot. And Rav Moshe does address it. I don't think post can assume that this is Mutter, but B'shas Adchak is worth asking Shael Sacham. So you're really, really stuck whether you would rely on this expansion, or any Rucham's expansion of Choso to include other blood relatives as well. Okay, so Mitzvah, next time we're going to go on to the sugyas of Shnei and Ashim Kshem. A lot going on there.